Welcome to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, our guest is Dr. Patricia J. Crane. Patricia's mission is to empower people worldwide with the inner resources and outer skills they need to achieve their dreams. Her company, Heart-Inspired Presentations, provides workshops, training, and products to support this mission. She and partner Rick travel throughout the United States and other countries, sharing an uplifting message of how to create abundance in every area of life. Patricia's own search for meaning started during a very stressful time in her life. She began practicing a simple meditation technique just to reduce stress, and instead discovered a spiritual path and connection. She later completed a PhD in social psychology with a specialty in developing wellness programs for the worksite and taught stress management at numerous businesses and a local university. She also experienced a debilitating time with chronic fatigue syndrome and was able to heal herself with the techniques she teaches today. In the process of pursuing her own spiritual development through reading numerous books and attending workshops, she met bestseller author Louise Hay of You Can Heal Your Life and attended Louise's first week-long intensive. Patricia was later asked to join the Heal Your Life staff for the intensives and then personally chosen by Louise to lead the powerful Love Yourself, Heal Yourself workshop. Leading this workshop evolved into a worldwide training program for Heal Your Life teachers. During the past 20 years, Patricia has led hundreds of workshops on a variety of topics. These included success strategies for women on the go, creating a prosperity mindset, healing the inner child, assertiveness for women, creating powerful affirmations, Reiki healing, Heal Your Life training, and many others. You are invited to learn more about the Heal Your Life Workshop Leader Training by going to www.hylteachers.com. That's www.hylteachers.com. This 1 week residential program has trained over 2,000 workshop leaders worldwide since 1995 to lead workshops based on the philosophy of Louise Hay. Patricia's book, Ordering from the Cosmic Kitchen, The Essential Guide to Powerful, Nourishing Affirmations, is an easy-to-read and entertaining book on how to clear the past and use affirmations and visualizations to cook up a delicious future. It has received 5-star reviews on Amazon. To read a free chapter, go to www.drpatriciacrane.com. I welcome Dr. Patricia Crane to the Holistic Health Show.
It is good to have you here, Patricia, to talk about affirmations.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Patricia. You know, I found it interesting that you focus on wellness in the work site in your doctoral program.
Yes.
But it seems that you take a more holistic approach to wellness and abundance in life. And I sort of suspect that you didn't get some of this, that you've learned this since your doctoral program, like my doctoral program in public health and wellness, which was pretty traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And did not include some of the more holistic approaches to wellness.
Very true.
It is? Yeah.
Very true.
Well, then let's start with finding out how you discovered the power of affirmations.
Well, it really started quite a number of years ago. I was in a very stressful job working for the county, actually in a welfare program.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself just getting more and more exhausted all the time and just so stressed that I really wasn't able to keep up very well with the job. And at the time, I didn't know anything about relaxation techniques and, you know, mind-changing
mm-hmm.
techniques
mm-hmm.
or anything like that that could really help me. And as it happened, a friend of mine had just started doing a meditation program. And I noticed a beautiful and wonderful change in her. So I asked her, what are you doing? You're looking so much happier, so much healthier. So she told me all about this meditation program, and I began the meditation program myself and experienced some wonderful changes. I mean, right away, I used to smoke a lot. Right away, I cut down on my smoking, which was great, and I was eating more healthy and just sleeping better, feeling better. And at the time, I was using it not as anything spiritual, but just as a relaxation technique.
Right.
And it certainly worked wonderfully for me that way. But after I'd been meditating for a while, what I started to notice is that I would actually think things and they would happen. Now, I didn't realize at the time I was doing affirmations. I'd never even heard the word back then. But as it happened more and more, I realized that it was something to me that was quite unusual and that I really needed to find out more about it. And so I started searching for books. And I'm sure you've had the experience that the right book just shows up at the right time for you. Now, as you know, I've studied quite a bit with Louise Hay, but this was before she even wrote her first book. So that one wasn't available. But I did find some other books, and suddenly this whole new world opened up for me about how we create our reality and how to use affirmations. And I was so excited about it, I thought, well, I'm going to start using affirmations for every area of my life, and in particular my career. And I ended up getting out of the very stressful work that I was doing with the welfare department, creating a wonderful new job for myself with another agency that was helping people get new careers who had been somewhat disabled in some way. And then from there I went on to some other work and just have continued using affirmations now for many, many years and finding them just an amazing way to get clear about what I want and then to focus on it, let it go, and to step back and be in gratitude as spirit lets it manifest in the very best way.
As you said, Patricia, when you're ready, the right books will actually fall into your hands.
They do. It's amazing, isn't it?
When I was in New York City when I was finishing my doctorate, and I was with a friend, we were at Barnes & Noble's, and this book fell out of the bookshelf, and it was the story of Edgar Cayce. And I picked up the book, and I said to my friend, oh, I've always wanted to read that. And then I said to him, I don't know why I said that. I've never heard of this man before, but it must be something I'm supposed to read. So I came home, and I read the book and got very interested. And within the next week, there was an ad in the paper about people interested in Edgar Cayce to call this number. This was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And so I called, and about 60 people showed up, and they broke up into different groups, and I wanted to go to the Search for God group, and so there were about seven of us that started. But all the other groups within 2 or 3 months had dissolved, and ours was the only one that continued on. And so I felt like, in retrospect, that I was really where I was supposed to be at that particular time.
Certainly sounds like it.
Patricia, let me ask you then, what are some of the basic principles that our listeners can use to create affirmations that are powerful for them?
And that's really a wonderful, wonderful question. There are some basic principles, and some people may know a few of them, but if you add all of them in together, you really can much more quickly create what it is that you want in your life. The three basics are what are called the three P's, and that's positive, present tense, and personal. So what that means is I affirm for myself. I can't really affirm for someone else. I can certainly wish them the highest good and their perfect path and everything, but I affirm for myself. It's always positive. Instead of saying I no longer do what you know, whatever it is, it's I now claim the behavior that I want or what it is that I want, and they're always present tense, as though it's happened already. And of course that tells your subconscious mind to shift its expectations so that whatever's happening now is not the truth of what you want, and so it begins to shift kind of like a compass. If you think about a ship, it doesn't change ways immediately, does it?
No.
It gradually goes as the captain shifts and the compass shifts, etc. So that's the way affirmations are. They, over time, build up stronger and stronger within yourself. And then a very important part of it is the feeling aspect. So it's not just really a thought. It's also the feeling that goes along with it. And you really need to feel very enthusiastic and very happy and very trusting, really, that whatever it is that you want is going to happen. So, for example, let's say that, you know, someone is not real happy with their job and wants a new position. They could start doing an affirmation that includes everything that they want. So it would sound something like, I now have a wonderful new job with fabulous coworkers, an excellent boss, an excellent salary, close to my home, and then whatever else they'd like to add into it. And they keep saying and thinking and really feeling that affirmation as though it's already happened. Now, sometimes it just falls into your lap, and I'm sure you've experienced
that. Right.
You do the affirmation, all of a sudden, boom, it shows up, and you're like, oh, this is so exciting and so wonderful. And other times, you need to take action. So another principle is that you want to be guided between the right balance of action and allowing. And for me, I have to say that I go back to meditation with that. That when I meditate, I will get some inner voice telling me to take some action or telling me, just relax, this is going to happen and you don't need to worry about it. So, and then you also have to trust the timing of when things show up, because sometimes we think, okay, I want patience and I want it yesterday.
Right.
But if we really are trusting the universe, trusting spirit, then the right resource, the right whatever it is, shows up at the right time, whether it's a piece of mail that comes in or a purse friend who calls you on the phone or a book that falls off the shelf or just some place that you're guided to go. And who knows, you meet this person that you really needed to meet that then connects you up with the person you need for the new job.
Right.
So the universe is a wonderful jigsaw puzzle, and just if we really listen and allow, sets us up in the right place.
Right.
So when you add in, you know, all these different principles together, then you can really sit back and relax and trust that the very best is opening up for you.
And I'm sure, Patricia, that our listeners are going to say, well, I've done all of that, but nothing manifested. What I wanted did not manifest. So why is it that sometimes we use affirmations and they don't seem to manifest?
Right, yep. Now, I do believe that affirmations actually always do work, but here's one of the challenges, and there are a few. One of them is that people do their affirmations in the morning. You know, I have this wonderful new job, or I'm creating new prosperity in my life, or I have this wonderful relationship, and then the rest of the day they forget all about them.
Right.
And so they're
right.
sitting in the lunchroom with everyone else going, oh, you know, relationships are so difficult, or I don't have any money for this, or, you know, I'll never get a new job. So they sabotage themselves by thinking negative thoughts the rest of the day and not being conscious that you really need to stay consistent with your affirmation. And then, again, connecting in more with that feeling of trust. So I think that's a big one, because sometimes people do affirmations and actually they're feeling anxious. So what it is that goes out to the universe is the anxiety, not the affirmation. So the anxiety feeling is there. But another big part of why sometimes they don't work is that people grow up with all kinds of different beliefs. And very often those beliefs are negative ones about themselves and life. So if someone grows up in a household where they really weren't encouraged to be the best that they could be, and they didn't get the kind of, you know, support for really being the shining example of themselves that they can be, some of those negative ideas are still in there. Oh, you don't deserve it, or who are you to think you could have this, or you'll never make it, or you're not smart enough, or whatever it happens to be. And often, you know, some of those comments are often made not just by parents, but even by other children.
Right.
And those negative ones especially just seem to really sit inside in that subconscious mind in a place that they show up later in life and are part of the sabotage. So people do need to do some work to go back and uncover, okay, what was I taught as a child about myself that really isn't serving me today? And then you do affirmations for those. So, for example, if someone was told, oh, you'll never amount to anything, or you're not smart enough, then they start doing affirmations. I'm smart enough to do anything I want. I am infinitely guided myself and using all my unique talents and skills to achieve everything that I want. So they can do those. And it's something we called inner child work, and your listeners may be somewhat familiar with that as well. But inner child work is actually just, you know, like a meditation, talking to that child and saying, you know, you really are okay. I love you. Mm-hmm. I want to support you in having a wonderful life.
Right.
And it's amazing when people start doing inner child work and the affirmations to negate the old programming, how quickly their lives can turn around and just be absolutely wonderful.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Patricia, I read that you were diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome.
That's right.
And how did you heal yourself? Was it with affirmations, or did you use a variety of interventions, or how did your healing come about?
Well, it was actually a variety of things, but affirmations were one of the foundations that I used. I used a lot of breath work. Breath work is a very intensive kind of process where you're really taking in a lot of oxygen at one time. It energizes the cells,
mm-hmm.
and I found breath work to be very helpful. But I also did quite a few affirmations. And one of my favorites for anybody who is experiencing any kind of a challenge with their health is the following one. Every resource I need for my healing comes to me quickly and easily.
Hmm.
Every resource I need for my healing comes to me quickly and easily.
Great.
That could be a book. It could be a holistic practitioner. It could be anybody who, mm-hmm. or, you know, anything. A person, a friend could tell you about a supplement that they took that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage people to do that affirmation for any kind of health issue that they are facing, and then be open to what shows up. Because, you know, there certainly are times when our medical profession, our traditional medical profession, has answers. And so those need to be used
right.
as well,
right.
along with everything else. Now, in my case, I went to a wonderful, wonderful acupuncturist who was just excellent. He also had been trained in Chinese herbs and homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
So he had quite a broad background. So I saw him. I did my affirmations, I did my breath work, and then there were a few other things that I was guided to along the way in terms of supplements that I took and, you know, healthy eating. So I cut out, obviously, all sugar.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's amazing what happens when you cut out all sugar.
Right.
And how quickly you feel a lot better. So I felt very blessed because at the time I saw a traditional medical doctor when I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. He basically told me that I'd never get well
mm-hmm.
because I'd had the symptoms for over 8 months. And I remember thinking I was already doing affirmations or already in this work. I remember thinking, that's a ridiculous thing to tell a patient.
Right.
Especially when there are so many other options. So, of course, I did not go back to that particular physician and then just started knowing that my affirmation about every resource I needed for my healing, that things would just show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel very blessed. I'm actually 61 now,
mm-hmm.
and I probably have more energy than I did in my 30s.
I think I told you that I had lung cancer 32 years ago, and my doctor told me I'd be dead in 6 months.
And 32 years old.
And so I refused the chemotherapy and the surgery because I figured, well, if I'm going to die anyhow, why mm-hmm. put myself through this? And so I did all of the alternative things. I used a physical, mental, spiritual approach. And like you, I went on a very restrictive diet. I used affirmations. I meditated. I visualized. I was on church prayer lists. I have a strong faith in a higher being.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted Olga Worrell, a psychic healer in Baltimore, Maryland, who has since deceased. And I was on her list, and I mean, on and on. And I'm still here, and so I swear by the holistic approach.
Oh, wonderful.
But that brings me to the spiritual aspects. And you didn't mention spiritual, but I bet you anything there were some spiritual intentions also.
You're absolutely right. And as you were speaking, I realized I hadn't said that.
Mm-hmm.
I had already started meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very much on a regular meditation program every
mm-hmm.
single day, usually at least twice a day for 20 minutes. I would meditate every day. But also in terms of my spiritual work, I truly also knew that there was a higher power that I was connected to and that I was part of that. And I knew that that higher power was going to guide me
mm-hmm.
to everything that I needed for my healing.
Right.
So I was very, and I think, you know, in terms of the spiritual aspect, no matter whether it's a health issue, relationship, prosperity,
right.
career, whatever it happens to be,
mm-hmm.
trust and faith are such an important
right.
part
Definitely.
Of the process of getting to that new life that you want and those new experiences that you want.
Right. Along with forgiveness.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't forgive, you get stuck in the past, and so you can't move to any new life.
Exactly. And all our workshops that I do with my partner, forgiveness is definitely a significant part of them.
Right. Yep. Now, Patricia, would you say that this was one of the most important affirmations that you have used during your life, the ones that you used for your healing?
I would say it has been, yes, because it's one that I use on an ongoing basis, and I adapt it if there's something that I'm wanting to understand more about in terms of a career change or move or opening or some new step. Or a relationship issue, it can really, that particular affirmation can be adapted to everything.
Right, right.
So I'd say that's one of my fundamental ones. And then I've certainly done many, many, many others in terms of specific kinds of things that I've manifested. You know, the relationship that I wanted, the home, beautiful home that we have in North San Diego County, and career openings and things like that. But yes, that's one of the ones that I think you can adapt to anything.
Right, right. So you have seen a lot of your wishes materialize as a result of using affirmation.
I certainly have. I certainly have. Would you like to hear about the Hawaii trip?
Yes.
This one people always really enjoy. It was some years ago, and I actually had been divorced for a couple of years, and my ex-husband and I used to go to Hawaii quite a bit, and I hadn't been there, and I was at a program with a woman named Carrie Cole Whitaker. You may have heard of Carrie. And she's quite well known in the spiritual movement. And she said, you know, people are always affirming for material things and money. She said, why don't you just affirm for directly what you want? And after I thought about it for a while, I thought, oh, you know what? A trip to Hawaii would be nice. A free trip would be nice. And so I started doing an affirmation. I am so grateful for this wonderful free trip to Hawaii and enjoying it, and I had some other details in there, and just would let it go. And that's another important point about affirmations, is you can't focus a lot of real hard energy on them. It has to be sort of light, and you put the affirmation out there and let it go and trust that it's going to happen. So a few months later, I'd been doing it on and off for the couple months, I met someone that I hadn't seen actually for quite a while, just an acquaintance, and she had just come back from Hawaii. So I said, well, where do you stay when you go over there? And she said, oh, my husband and I, with some other people, we have a condominium over there. She said, I'd be happy to let you use it for free.
Wow.
She said, we never rent it out. We only give it to special people, you know, that are going over there that we know. So we know the people, and we never rent it out. Well, I said, oh, well, that sounds wonderful.
Right.
So I was obviously quite excited about that, and I asked the guy that I was dating at the time if he would like to go with me, and of course he said yes. So then I thought, well, gosh, this free week in Hawaii has manifested. Why don't I start doing affirmations for free airline tickets? So I started doing the affirmations for free airline tickets, and somewhere along the way, that little negative voice, you know, that jumps in every once in a while,
right,
said, are you kidding? Nobody ever gets free airline tickets. Have you ever heard of anybody getting free airline tickets? So I stopped doing the affirmation, and, of course, we paid for our airline tickets, and we're flying over to Hawaii, and this guy turns to me and says, you know, I think I had enough frequent flyer miles, we might have been able to get this flight for free. And I thought, oh, my goodness, do I throw him off the plane or me? But it was really a good lesson for me because what I really got clearly is that on one level I had opened to my good and welcomed that free week in Hawaii without even knowing where it might possibly come from. And then I closed down to my good for getting the airline ticket. And I will never know whether he would have thought about it and we would have used the frequent flyer miles or something else would have come through, but I just know that it was a great lesson that reminds me that we really truly need to be open to the spiritual aspect and the good of the universe, and just know that really God wants us to have everything that we want and not to shut down on the possibilities.
Right.
You know, really think big.
Well, you know, Patricia, I experienced the same thing when I had lung cancer. And it was that people would try to put doubt in my mind. And see, that's what they were doing with you. And I tried to stay very positive, but even my mother, who loved me very much, but she said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, and then you can do these other things. My colleagues, who were all nurse educators, said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do? Or they ignored me. So, again, they were trying to put doubt in my mind, but they were doing it in a way that was based on their background.
Right.
And it wasn't meant in a harmful way.
Right.
But if I had accepted that, it could have delayed my recovery.
Yes,
because I think being positive is very important, whether it's your recovery or whether it is continuing with your affirmations. So the doubt, I think, can be very detrimental to, you know, a lot of things.
It is. And, Carl, what I also can tell from what you've said about your healing with cancer is that there was such an intention and such a determination that you really searched far and wide for everything that would help you.
Right, I did.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't just one thing. And that's something I've often worked with people who had cancer and AIDS. I started working with Louise Hay many years ago, and of course she did a lot of work with people with AIDS. And what I saw was the people who healed sound very similar to what you're explaining, in that they really made that the priority in their life.
Right, right.
And said, I'm going to do everything I can and do my research and, you know, really follow through with all of this because I truly want to live.
Right.
You have a wonderful, inspirational story.
Thank you. Two things that I found very important with me and with others. An example, Patricia, was that I have a friend who's a waitress in a local restaurant, and I like good waitresses because I feel like they're very spiritual people because they're being of service to others.
Mm-hmm.
So she developed cancer, had a breast removed. So I said to her, well, I have another friend that had a breast removed about 10 years ago. Would you like to get together with her and discuss resources and what she went through, et cetera, et cetera? She suggests, so it took about 10 days to get this arranged. But in the meantime, I met 11 other women who had had breasts removed recently.
Oh.
Now, what is the probability of that happening?
Very small.
And so every time I'd meet someone, I'd say, well, we're getting together for lunch on such and such a day. So 7 people showed up. And one thing that I found with every one of them was they were all very positive. They knew they were going to get better. So there was their faith, and they all believed in a higher being. So I think in addition to trying to get all of the information and apply all the things, being positive, having faith, having belief in a higher being are probably the things that make the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, affirmations are very closely related to visualization.
Yes.
Can you tell us how these two processes differ?
Yes, I'd be happy to. With visualization, you actually are doing a lot more with mental images and filling in all the details of what it would be like in your life once this affirmation has happened. So, for example, if I were doing an affirmation for a new home, in the affirmation, I would list all the things that I wanted in a new home, but I might not have the actual visual image of it or even the strength of the feeling. And so by adding in the visualization with my eyes closed, I can see different parts of the house. I can feel what it's like to be in the house. I can look out and see a view. I can include all the details that I want, but I'm doing it at a little deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
I can think the affirmation when I'm driving along in the car, and I can say it out loud, but I better not close my eyes and visualize.
Right, right.
That would be a little bit problematic.
Right.
And so the visualization is just taking yourself to a bit of a deeper level, and it's if you've done a lot of meditation, when you close your eyes to visualize, of course, you're going to that deeper level where you meditate anyway. And that not only provides a stronger connection with our source, with spirit, but it also takes you into the alpha level of brain waves. And those brain waves are much more creative than just on the surface beta level when we are going around our everyday tasks.
Right.
So visualization just allows you to take it more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And the two together absolutely are a powerful, powerful combination. And then once you've visualized and you've done your affirmations, again, you let it go and just trust that it's happening. You don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. You certainly listen for any guidance about steps that you need to take,
right?
But you don't force it.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners about affirmations?
I would just encourage your listeners to read different books, listen to CDs, really get it on a deeper level,
mm-hmm.
and to be willing to trust that things work out.
Mm-hmm.
So even if their affirmations up until now haven't been as powerful or as worked out as well as they want, to really have that trust and faith and to keep doing them, because the power of their mind, especially in connection with spirit,
mm-hmm.
just can open up doors in unbelievable ways and provide the most miraculous things to happen in their lives.
Right. And Patricia, would you like to tell our listeners what services and products you offer?
A company I have is Heart Inspired Presentations with my partner Rick Nichols. And I've written a book called Ordering from the Cosmic Kitchen, which is about affirmations. And that's available on our website, heartinspired.com or Amazon. And then we also do a very powerful training program, a one-week training program that's based on Louise Hay's work. And I trained personally with Louise back in the 80s. And that program is called Heal Your Life, Achieve Your Dreams Workshop Leader Training. And we actually train people with full scripts and CDs and manuals and everything to go out and lead workshops on these life-changing principles and help other people take their ability to create what they want to an even deeper level.
Mm-hmm. I can hear Louise Hay's influence in your interview.
Definitely.
Say, but I assume that with the years of contact you've had with her, you would have to have that influence.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I actually had started in the same philosophy that Louise trained in several years before I actually met her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had her book, I think, but I started in this philosophy, you know, again, years before and with the meditation. And then when I met Louise, actually before I met her, when I read her book, You Can Heal Your Life, I
mm-hmm.
thought, now this is the clearest book I've read so far
with
these principles, and that's what impressed me. It was so simple, so clear, and yet so inspirational as well.
Well, her book was another one that appeared when I needed it, and I had gone to a psychic for a reading, and
mm-hmm.
she recommended it.
Yeah.
And so I went out and I got it, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
And I found it a fantastic book, and that was probably 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still go back and look at it periodically, because each time I look at it, I see something that I either forgot or I didn't see it when I was reading it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely been translated into, I don't know how many languages at this point, but
mm-hmm.
probably about 10 or 15 at least.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's really a classic.
Well, it's been wonderful having you today with us, Patricia, and I'm glad that you took the time, and I realized that you had a very tight schedule today, but I appreciate very much your joining us today.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's wonderful to talk with you and share some with your listeners, and I think you're doing a fantastic
job. Welcome to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host at BBS Radio and www.holistichealthshow.com. This month we have talked about mental aspects of holistic health, including affirmations and visualization. I would like to briefly discuss meditation and relaxation as other mental aspects. Starting with meditation, Edgar Cayce says meditation is the emptying of ourselves of all that hinders the creative forces from rising along the natural channels of our physical bodies to be disseminated through the sensitive spiritual centers in our physical bodies. Thus, meditation means putting away the worries and concerns of the day and emptying the mind so that God can speak with us. Cayce makes the distinction between meditation and prayer by saying that in prayer we speak to God, and in meditation God speaks with us. Meditation can be thought of as a process
of achieving awareness without thought. Preparation is necessary before you meditate, and this may vary from person to person. You may use one or more of the following suggestions to purify the physical and mental bodies before coming in contact with the creative force. I will present different aspects of preparation so that if you are new to meditation, you can experiment and decide what works best for you. Some choose to cleanse the physical body with soap and water before meditating. Some avoid certain foods. And others choose to perform relaxation exercises or deep breathing. Other people like sounds and smells as part of preparation. Some play music, such as Gregorian chants, before meditating, whereas others prefer to chant themselves. Still others like to burn incense before and during meditation. My own personal preference is to play Gregorian chants and burn sandalwood or jasmine incense before meditation, whereas chanting alone or in a group makes me uncomfortable. You will need to decide whether you want to meditate alone or with someone else. Some people like to meditate with others, especially when they are beginning. Two useful groups that may be available to you are the Friends Quaker Church and an Edgar Cayce study group. The traditional Quaker Church holds silent services on Sundays, during which time members meditate until the Spirit moves them, and then they speak. If you find a Quaker church in your area, you may want to attend a service and make up your mind about returning. I personally found this a wonderful group of people and a great group to meditate with. The Edgar Cayce Study Group meets in numerous locations around the United States and world. At their weekly meetings, members meditate together and decide on a time for all to meditate daily in their own home. In these groups, meditation, plus the material studied from the Search for God books, and the spiritual practices implemented by members on a day-to-day basis, helps individuals live a more spiritual life. If interested in trying this approach, contact the study group office at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach to locate a study group near you. Call area code 757-428-3588. There are different types of meditation, and consequently the process may vary. I will share with you the process that I used over the past 30 years. It is based upon the Edgar Cayce approach and seems to combine the best aspects of all types of meditation from a spiritual point of view. One of the first hurdles for the person new to meditation is to sit quietly for a period of time without thinking of the day's activities. This is difficult because we are conditioned to being active, and when we do sit, we are conditioned to think about everything from what happened today to planning for tomorrow. Or our emotions take over and we worry about an encounter from the day or unfinished task for tomorrow. Thus, it is helpful to meditate at the same time and in the same place daily to facilitate the process of sitting quietly and quieting the mind. Some people like to sit, and others prefer to lie down while meditating. Some sit in the lotus position, whereas others sit in a chair in a relaxed position with the spine erect. Some sit with their palms facing upwards, whereas others hold their hands in a relaxed position. Do whatever is comfortable for you. Next, focus on an affirmation, passage from the Bible, or some other inspirational words that help you to focus your mind. In the Search for God material, affirmations are presented for each chapter that relate to the material being studied. These are closely related to biblical passages, such as, "Lo, I am with you always, even till the end, or be still and know that I am God, or not my will, but thine, O Lord. Those who practice transcendental meditation are given a mantra to use. Next, you empty your mind of all thoughts so that God may speak to you. When you begin thinking again or experiencing emotions, refocus your mind on the affirmation until you have stilled it and can return to the state of an empty mind. Continue for at least 20 minutes. Some people meditate 20 minutes twice a day, and some meditate daily for 20 to 30 minutes. After you have mastered the sitting and emptying of the mind, you will choose a time interval that is comfortable for you. With practice, you will be able to sit, quickly empty your mind, and enjoy the refreshing feelings that follow your meditation. Other types of meditation include transcendental meditation and mindful meditation. Transcendental meditation is a similar process, but instead of focusing on an affirmation or religious thought, each practitioner is given a mantra that is considered to be specific to him or her. The mantra is used to clear the mind and move toward silence. Mindful meditation focuses your attention on a sound or on your breathing. Then you observe any thoughts and feelings that arise while maintaining a non-judgmental attitude toward whatever occurs. The emphasis is on learning the workings of the mind in the present moment. Research demonstrates that meditation has many positive effects on the body, including improving your health, reducing pain, increasing intelligence, reducing anxiety, improving self-esteem, and others. I will review briefly a few of the research studies. Over 500 scientific studies have been reported on transcendental meditation, and many of these are reviewed on the internet site www.tm.org. Over 375 studies were reviewed in one published analysis, and the study consistently showed that those who meditate were significantly more effective in producing improvement in self-esteem and decreasing anxiety than any other technique used for self-improvement. Studies also showed an improvement in physical health. In one study on blood pressure changes of groups over 3 months, the systolic and diastolic pressure dropped by 10.6 and 5.9 milligrams of hemoglobin in the group of meditators, but there was no change in the usual care group. In another study, using random assignments to control and study groups, where the initial serum level of blood cholesterols were the same, the transcendental meditation group dropped to 225 with a plus or minus 9.4 milligrams per 100 milliliters compared to their own baseline. The control remained at the baseline of 259 with a plus or minus of 8.9 milligrams per 100 milliliters. Another study looked at medical utilization and found that it decreased by 50% for meditators compared to a matched control group. In another study, long-term meditators were found to be physiologically 12 years younger than their chronological age. Miller et al. Found that teaching stress reduction using a mindful meditation significantly reduced anxiety and panic in 22 patients with diagnoses of anxiety disorder. And Smith et al. Used meditation and the Personal Happiness Enhancement Program to evaluate a reduction in depression and anxiety. The second group received the Personal Happiness Enhancement Program only, and the last group received no instruction. The Happiness Measure, Psych Inventory, Beck Personality, Beck Depression Inventory, and State Trait Anxiety Scale were all dependent variables. findings show that the meditation plus the personal happiness enhancement group significantly improved on all dependent variables, including depression, over the control and personal enhancement program group only. Others have found that meditation reduces chronic pain, decreases anxiety and depression, and leads to increased activity, reduces hypertension, reduces respiratory crisis in people with asthma, emphysema, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and cured 75% of the people with sleep-onset insomnia. These and other studies on the health aspects of meditation can be found on the meditation site mentioned earlier. Thus, meditation seems to be an effective holistic intervention when used with physical and spiritual exercises. Now, I will talk briefly about relaxation exercises as a part of mental aspects of holistic health. There are many relaxation exercises, ranging from simple head and neck exercises to those that relax the whole body. They quiet the body and allow it to rebuild its energy reserve. One easy exercise is the brief relaxation, and it can be carried out 3 times a day for 5 minutes or as needed. Begin by sitting comfortably in a chair and close your eyes. Next, concentrate on remembering the most peaceful setting you have been in. It might be a mountain setting, a stream running through a meadow, or the sun setting on a lake. In any of these settings, visualize yourself in it. For example, sitting by the stream. See yourself taking your shoes and socks off and dipping your feet in the water. Feel the coolness of the water and the warmth of the sun on your body. Let your mind drift away as you visualize this relaxing, peaceful setting. At the same time, as you take each breath, mentally think, relax, relax, and visualize your worries leaving your body as you exhale. With practice, your problems and worries will float away. A second brief relaxation exercise is breathing without visualization and can also be carried out 3 times a day. In this exercise, close your eyes, inhale deeply through the nose, then hold, and then exhale through the mouth. While exhaling, mentally say one or peace. Repeat this exercise 5 times. Another brief relaxation exercise involves first closing your eyes and breathing in deeply and slowly through the left nostril and exhaling through the right. You will need to hold one nostril with your finger. Next, breathe in through the right nostril and exhale through the left. Last, breathe in through the nose, both nostrils, and exhale through the mouth. Repeat this exercise 3 times. Try these. They will relax and revive and are often helpful before meditation. Progressive relaxation relaxes the 15 to 20 major muscle groups from your feet to your head and reduces stress, headaches, anxiety, insomnia, and lowers elevated blood pressure. First, sit or lie in a comfortable position. Loosen your clothes if necessary. Next, close your eyes and concentrate on your breathing. Be aware of breathing in and out, in and out. You can mentally say in and out as you breathe, if it is not distracting. When you are calm, begin instructing your muscle groups to relax. Begin by thinking, feet relax, and then feel them relax. Then calves relax, legs relax. Continue with each muscle group until you finish the neck and head. After you complete the relaxation exercises, again focus on your breathing. You might also do some deep breathing exercises. When finished with your breathing, you are ready to sit up or stand up, and you should feel relaxed. A variation of these exercises involve tensing and relaxing each muscle group, and these are usually carried out once daily. You tense each muscle hard for 7 to 10 seconds, but do not strain. You may also visualize the muscle group you are tensing. Next, release the tension abruptly and relax the muscle group for 15 to 20 seconds, letting it go completely limp. If it helps, you may repeat the phrase, "I'm relaxed," as you relax the muscle. Continue repeating the tensing and relaxing once on each muscle group. Relaxation has been used with individuals with arthritis, epilepsy, depression, anxiety, surgery pain management, and to improve the immune system. Research on relaxation exercises has shown them to be effective in improving health. In 1988, O'Leary and al. Studied the effect of relaxation exercises, cognitive pain management, and goal setting on arthritis. The control group received information on arthritis self-management, and the experimental group received relaxation exercises and the information. Results showed that the treatment group were less depressed and stressed, slept longer, and were better able to cope with the arthritis. In another study by Cohen and Wynn in 1997, relaxation, imagery, storytelling, and hypnosis were used in a preschool program for children with asthma. Symptom severity scores and physician visits were both significantly reduced in the treatment group. In a study on the influence of relaxation on depression, anxiety, and mood, Bridge in 1988 studied 154 breast cancer patients receiving radiation. They were randomly assigned to one of three groups: progressive muscle relaxation and deep breathing, relaxation and deep breathing with pleasant imagery, and a control group in which subjects were encouraged to talk about themselves. Before the study, all subjects had similar scores on self-rating scales for mood, depression, and anxiety. 6 weeks after the study began, the first two groups had significantly more mood scores. Subjects in the second group had the best, and mood scores were worse in the control group. Depression and anxiety scores were not significantly different in the three groups. In several studies, relaxation has been shown to be effective in pain reduction. Stuckley in 1986 found relaxation training was more effective in reducing chronic low back pain than placebos or biofeedback. In another study on pain following spinal surgery, Lawless in 1985 divided 100 patients into two matched groups. Group 1 received 1 hour of relaxation instructions on the night before surgery, whereas the control group, who had the same surgery, had no instructions in relaxation. The group receiving relaxation instructions had shorter hospital stays, complained less to the nurses, and used less pain medication following surgery. Another researcher, Keycolt, Glaser, and al., in 1985, studied the effects of relaxation on the immune system of 45 elderly individuals in an independent living facility. Subjects were divided into three groups. Group 1 received relaxation training 3 times a week. Group 2 received social contact 3 times a week. And Group 3 received no planned contact. After a month, Group 1 showed a significant increase in natural killer cell activity. The subjects reported feeling more relaxed, and the antibody level of the herpes virus had dropped. There was no significant change in Groups 2 and 3. I hope this holistic health show has been useful to you, and I thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host at the BBS Radio Station 3 and www.holistichealthshow.com. Have a good night.